Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
The NFL continues its push into Europe, desperate for that market. I'm not sure if it impacts the game, but then again, if you can no longer tackle from behind, I have no idea what kind of game is left. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. Gary Dick joins us from InsideIndianaBusiness.com. Find him on X at IIB, personally at Gary Dick, G-E-R-R-Y, at Gary Dick, on the X Twitter there. The Colts get the marketing rights for Germany and Austria, and I don't understand how this works at all, that the NFL, how did the Colts not already own the rights to the Colts to be able to market anywhere they are?
Yeah, it kind of caught me by surprise as well. But this is part, Tony, of that ongoing globalization of the game. You look at the NBA, and I think they're probably ahead of the game when you look at professional sports leagues in the global reach. NFL is doing the same thing. Obviously, the Colts have played in Europe. Other NFL teams routinely do that. I think this is the next logical step. And again, a way for the Colts, and there are several other teams who already are there in terms of marketing agreements. I think the Chiefs, Patriots, Buccaneers, Falcons, and the Panthers as well are over there to varying degrees. But just an opportunity for the team to engage with fans, do a lot of the things they do here in terms of merchandising and those types of things. Helps to build the brand of the franchise here, but also from the NFL perspective, really extends the brand of the league as they look to continue that that global presence.
Yeah, it's clear that this is where they think the money is, and then of course they take the games overseas, leading to less home games. But if the ownership feels that they're still making money, they're not worried about whether the fan base in the U.S. is happy. You saw this with baseball and how those opening games with the Dodgers, for example, in South Korea, and people were like, "You put a game on at 3 a.m. on the fan. What are you doing to us here?" But they're convinced that the international push is the right one. Has there been a conversation at all about how this affects the Colts and economics right here in Indianapolis and central Indiana?
Yeah, I haven't seen numbers yet, Tony, but certainly the league views global expansion as extremely attractive, lucrative, because there's an appetite for it, a new fan base, if you will. And you look at the atmosphere, the vibe, what happens when NFL teams, the Colts, other teams go there and play, it's very strong. So they see obviously a business opportunity to make things happen there. You know, there's been talk, would there ever be a franchise that would actually be located outside of the United States in Europe? I think there are a lot of questions that certainly would have to be answered there in terms of travel, how you do that scheduling wise. But those are the types of things being talked about now. And certainly, as I mentioned, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, was in town for the NBA All-Star game a few weeks back, and he talked a lot about the league's global expansion efforts, which they're very upfront about, want to continue that growth on a global basis. So we're seeing it, as you mentioned, baseball. I thought the same thing. I think, you're looking at baseball on I think it was the opening Thursday of March Madness at 6 a.m., and I thought, what in the heck are they doing? But there is certainly an appetite for it, and there's money to be made, and that, as they say, follow the money.
Talking to Gary Dick from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. You sat down with Governor Holcomb. I'm glad one of us could. He writes this very lengthy op-ed in the Indianapolis Business Journal, where basically he's saying, look how great I've done here. If you're somebody running for governor, this is what you should be focused on. What you had the conversation with him, but I will share with you that I looked at that letter that he wrote, and I said, this is a very interesting humble brag from the governor. What was he trying to get across, and how did you take it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and IBG editor Leslie Weidenbender and I both sat down with the governor for an interview in his office about this. And we asked the governor about that because it did read like a list of accomplishments, certainly during his administration. But the governor said he basically wants to get the message out. I think he didn't say this specifically, but I think he has a concern that perhaps the gubernatorial candidates in the race now perhaps aren't being specific enough in addressing how they would approach some of these issues. He says, you know, he feels as though there's great momentum going on in the state of Indiana. He doesn't want to see it slow down. And I think there's a level of concern. He's not seen enough specifics from the candidates on some of these issues, like the economic environment, how, you know, tax and regulatory environment, how you deal with that, workforce issues, education, infrastructure, investing in roads, bridges, how you're going to do that, all those types of things. So I think that was at the kind of at the heart of things. And I thought it was interesting that he did say he will, in fact, endorse a candidate, because I think there was a feeling. I thought he might not do that, but he said he will endorse a candidate at some point. I know there's a debate tonight on Fox 59 and with the GOP, leading GOP candidates in CBS 4. So I guess we'll see more tonight.
Right. That debate, I think, excludes Jamie Rittenour and Curtis Hill based on, I don't know if it was economics in terms of money raised or any level of polling. Some people have tried to put out that it was racial in their exclusion. I don't buy that for a second. I would actually push back hard against that commentary. But the idea that the governor puts it out there, the governor speaks to you, but he doesn't speak to the press, and he has not taken criticism well at all. Is the letter that he wrote, is it being well received by business community, by possibly the candidates that you've spoken to, or is it seen as this was self-aggrandizing? This wasn't actually something valuable for Hoosiers, where they would go, yeah, these are the things that matter.
Yeah, you know, and I can only go on anecdotal reaction. Sure. What I've heard from people, kind of feedback from our reporting and that in the IBJ. You know, I think there's a feeling in the business community that these are issues that need to be addressed. And, you know, he's bringing light to it, suggesting that we kind of can't let the guard down, that competition in this country and globally continues to increase. And these are things that his successor are going to have to deal with, whether they want to or not. So what is the plan? What is the strategy moving forward in these key areas? And I think from the few people that have, you know, reacted to me, they felt good about getting these issues out on the table, and maybe not addressing or not focusing on some of the issues that may not be germane or may not really be applicable to Indiana. Focus on issues, you know, bread and butter, blocking and tackling issues affecting the state.
One of the things that took place in this session, I've heard more about this than ever, talking to Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com, is about the role of the IEDC, the Indiana Economic Development Group, and whether or not they provide a value. I should say the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. I should say what the C is.
Yep.
You have a piece about this, that legislation could come back in 2025 that would reel in the IEDC. What is this legislation based on what we've already seen, and what do you believe its possibilities are going forward?
Yeah, you know, interesting. And there was a piece in the IBJ about that legislative effort. And it really stems from and was sparked by principally, I think, the water situation at the LEAP Innovation District in Boone County and the IEDC's a plan, at least initially, to perhaps pipe water from the Wabash River in Tippecanoe County down to that area to accommodate future growth beyond the Big Lily investment being made there. So I think that is certainly at the heart of it. It sparked a lot of concern around the state. It's become a big issue. The state is studying that. It's not going to come out or will be coming out with results on a water study. But in the interview, the governor did say he fully supports the LEAP model, that idea of the state buying property, not by eminent domain and in those types of scenarios, but buying up property to help locate and have property to locate big investment from around the country. Perhaps not as big, not as large as the situation, the Boone County LEAP District, but that model he feels is a good one and keeps Indiana, makes Indiana competitive with states like Georgia and some of the hot areas where companies are located.
Gary Dick, inside IndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. I appreciate you taking the time.